This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. It's my pleasure today to be joined by Dan Nielsen. Dan has a number of different roles. He's currently the founder of America's Healthcare Leaders. He's also been a hospital CEO and is a tremendously accomplished leader and executive and a truly inspiring person and a good person. We're going to talk to Dan about a variety of issues related to healthcare, motivation, leadership today. Dan, let me ask you to take a moment and introduce yourself.
Thank you so much, Scott. What an honor to be on with you. I appreciate it. I tell people that I'm a poor boy from Nebraska who's incredibly blessed with great family, friends, and mentors. At age 30, I had a very unique opportunity to start a hospital from scratch in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. No money, no land, no buildings, no doctors, no nurses. Like I say to people, no nothing, literally. It was a wonderful journey. 15 years, we had several different building programs, and that just was a wonderful journey. Then I joined VHA, now Vizient, and I was also there for 15 years, and I was in charge of all the national education and networking strategies and services, specifically creating national learning networks for C-suite executives of our shareholders, VHA's 130 shareholders. So I worked very closely with CEOs, COOs, CFOs, CNOs, you name it, 14 different groups. Then I retired real quickly. After 7 months, I didn't enjoy that. I've come back, and since that point, I've started several successful companies. I've written a couple of books, probably 500 articles. And basically, I spend my time reading and thinking and trying to serve and help others. I still travel a lot. I have 300,000 pictures that I've taken that are on the cloud of America, all across America. That's sort of a summary of who I am and what I do right now.
Dan, thank you. I've been blessed to have the chance to get to know you the last several years and one of the great pleasures of my professional existence. So thank you. Three of the most interesting things that you see in healthcare today, anything you could comment on?
You bet. Number one, I would say the literal destruction of the difficulty of entering the healthcare and the health and healthcare industry. The barriers are falling left and right. 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, it was very much more difficult to get into healthcare. Basically, had to be a physician or be aligned with physicians or whatever. That is just going away unbelievably rapid. Number two, I'd say technology, access, artificial intelligence, which all is going to allow all people virtually in the world in not too long of a period of time to be treated anytime, anywhere in the world. Third, I think it's going to be extremely interesting to watch our country, our citizens, and frankly, citizens across the world deal with the unsustainable growth in pharmaceutical costs and prices. You know, pharmaceuticals have become so important to our health and our health care. It's not sustainable. It's going to be real interesting to watch that.
Thank you. I think a fabulous summary. The three things I heard you say are sort of the decrease of barriers of entry, more and more different parts of the population, people, companies that are being able to get into healthcare. And you see that with the just as simple as the reduction of certificate of need loss and so forth. Second is so much the technology, the different technological impacts of healthcare and how that's changing healthcare. You mentioned a number of those. And then third, you talked about a pressing issue of the cost of healthcare, the cost of pharmaceuticals, and how much of a challenge that is. So thank you. Next question, and this is an overall question. I'm not sure if it's a good question. Is the healthcare system getting better or worse? And how do you sort of assess that?
Scott, I think it's an excellent question. And I say better, better, better. I think it's better for patients currently using, it's going to be better and getting better for patients currently using the healthcare system. I think it's going to be better for communities and population as a whole, with the entry points and dramatically increasing and, you know, geographically, telemedicine, access to digital tools and wearables, going to be better for them. I think it's going to be better for communities as a whole and the companies that fund much of healthcare, you know, the General Motors and, you know, Amazon and all the different companies that have insurance programs, plus the government itself, which of course pays for 40 or 50% of the healthcare in America. It's going to be better for everybody because of the things we just talked about, the lack of barriers to get in, to innovate, to treat wherever people are all the time, 24 hours a day, et cetera. I see nothing but better, better, better. Now, there are problems. There's issues, no question. But it's going to get better.
Since you touched on it, and thank you, I love the optimism. It just is, I think, the only way to live. Some of that you had mentioned, there are some challenges. Just a moment on what some of those challenges are.
Well, I think the increasing cost of healthcare itself, we already mentioned pharmaceuticals, way back when, I'm an older fellow. So, I've been around 45 or 50 years, and I can remember 45 or 50 years ago, people saying, got to concentrate on cost. We've got to lower costs. We've got to, some of these issues are not new, but we can't continue to go 21, 22, 23, 24% of the gross national product, et cetera. So, that's just an issue that somehow, some way, and maybe through access, through technology, through all these different companies coming in, we'll be able to continue to treat people well and even better for a lower cost. But that's an example. It just flat and out cannot continue.
Thank you. You spent a great deal of your time talking across systems to some of the most interesting leaders, male and female, of all types throughout the country. Who are some of the more interesting leaders that you come across and have a chance to visit with?
If you don't mind, Scott, I'd like to make a suggestion before I answer your question specifically, and that is, listen to a fellow like me that's been around a long time. Come up with a list of one thing you have learned from each of the mentors or great leaders that you come across, that you experience. I'm talking to your audience now. If they would come up with one thing that they respect, that they've learned from each of the leaders that they associate with, pretty soon they'd have a list, very succinct, very short, but a priceless list that would help them grow into the future. So to answer your question specifically, a gentleman by the name of Max Topham was the president and CEO of West Nebraska General Hospital in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, way up in the panhandle of Western Nebraska. He was my first boss, if you will, CEO out of grad school. Made a huge, huge positive impact on my life. In fact, I dedicated my book titled Be an Inspirational Leader, Engage, Inspire, Empower. I dedicated that to Max Topham. I interviewed him for the book before he died. So he made a huge impression on me and impact, and it was because he was truly an inspirational leader. He engaged people. He inspired people. He empowered people. Secondly, I would mention Joel Allison. He's now retired, Baylor Scott & White. I knew Joel for 25 years or more as the COO and then the CEO of Baylor Scott & White. What a wonderful man. The thing I learned more about him than anything else was he is absolutely mission-driven, personally, professionally, and organizationally. He is a driven, mission-driven leader. Next one is no surprise to anybody, Michael Dowling, president and CEO of Northwell Health. I interviewed him for an hour and a half in his office in New York City, one-on-one. What a wonderful experience that was. He is an amazing man. I have so much respect for him in many ways, one of which is he's a great thinker. He is a clear thinker. He's not afraid to be unique, be himself. In fact, I think he sort of relishes being unique and being a little bit different, but that's something that we can learn from him. Chris Van Gorder, I respect him for the book he wrote titled Frontline Leaders. The thing I took away from Chris more than anything else, and I also interviewed him in his office in San Diego for over an hour on video. He's a great communicator, whether you're writing or whether he's speaking, whether he's doing a speech or just one-on-one, a great, great communicator. Those are some of the leaders that came to mind when you told me you were going to ask that question. There's many more, but I would just again emphasize, find one thing that you really respect about a leader and jot it down, keep it, refer to it in the future. You will grow unbelievably by doing that.
Thank you. And I think wonderful advice. And just for the audience again, the title of your book about inspirational leadership, where can people find that book?
It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. It's available, Kindle, or you can get it from Amazon. The title is Be an Inspirational Leader, Engage, Inspire, empower. I believe that's what inspirational leaders do. They inspire people. They engage people. They empower people. I interviewed, since you asked the question, I interviewed over 100 people all across America, including the people that I've talked about here, except Max Copham. He's passed away. So I got a lot of information from a lot of people putting that book together. I loved doing it.
Well, fantastic. And Dan, you're a high energy person. You're a pleasure of a person. How do you keep yourself motivated day in, day out, year in, year out?
You know, I firmly believe that we become what we think about, and we become like the people we associate with and align with. I fervently believe that. So I associate with good people, with good organizations. I look for the good in people. I look for the good in organizations. When I interview people, I always tell them, I'm not looking for dirt. There's plenty of other people doing that. I'm looking for the good. I'm looking for the best. I'm looking for what I can learn from you. I want to look for uplifting people and uplifting environment. You know, and if I do that, and if I observe and learn from those people, then everything is better in my entire life. So I basically, you know, I fill my mind, I fill my thoughts with people who are worthy of being followed, respected, you know, great leaders, et cetera. And I just feed off of that. I love to serve. I love to help people. I love people. That's what keeps me going. That's my motivation, and my inspiration is aligning with, associating with, learning with great people.
Well, thank you. I love that. And I see it in action from you. If this is a successful year this year, what does that look like?
You know, Scott, I've alluded to this already a little bit, but at my stage of life, I've been so blessed. My goals and priorities are pretty much all about serving other people and helping other people. I don't worry much about personal, financial, or other returns. I have found that the more I give, the more I serve, the more I help others achieve their goals and their priorities, the better I do. So knowing that, you know, I'm at the relative end of a great career, in my opinion, had a wonderful time, very fulfilling. I've learned a lot, been incredibly blessed, and to the extent that God gives me life and health, I want to share and serve others, because I know when I do that, every other area of my life beautifully falls into place.
Well, thank you. You talk about sort of being at towards the end of the career. I think you more as being towards the end of the middle of your career. And for anybody who doesn't know Dan Nielsen, it's been one of my great pleasures to get to know you as a person, as a mentor, as a leader the last several years. And I know you're open to talking to people of all sorts and learning and giving advice and enjoying yourself. And helping. So if anybody has not had the chance to visit with Dan Nielsen, I encourage you to do so, you know, very much so. Just a great pleasure, Dan. And thank you for joining us today on the podcast. Thank you very much.
God, I'm going to say this, and you may cut it out, but I wanted to mention you, would love to mention you. And if this goes out, I would appreciate it. But I've learned a lot from you, and I could talk about those things, but it's just great to be around you. You are a very inspiring gentleman. And the thing I most admire about you, you have a very quick mind. You've been very successful, but you sincerely thank people over and over and over. That is a characteristic that we need more of. It's free. We should do more of it. And that's what you do so well, as well as your business. It's a pleasure to moderate the sessions you allow me to do so. I thank you very much.
Well, no, thank you. I think we both share the fact that we both love visiting with people. And so it's a great pleasure to do so. So thank you for the kind words, and we appreciate you joining us very much. Thank you, Dan.